Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. I'm Dylan. Joining me this week are Ben.
Hi.
And Zach.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
That's going to be awkward when those are backwards. But And if you couldn't tell from Ben's quote, this week we're doing Tombstone. We talked about it the week before. Ben said that Val Kilmer was robbed of an Oscar. I told my dad that, and he said, yeah, you know what? He probably was. I had never seen this film. Had you, Zach?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm the lame.
You're the lame goob.
I don't know why I hadn't seen this one. It just never, like...
You're a lonely goober.
I don't know. It never, like, drew me in, but watching the movie, I was like, holy shit, he's in it. Holy shit, he's in it.
Yeah.
Hey, that guy.
Yeah, there's... I mean, and I remembered that there were people in this movie that I was like, oh, yeah, so-and-so's... I knew, like, Thomas Hayden Church. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the guy I always forget is in Tombstone. Or...
Billy Zane. Oh, my God.
Who's the other... The guy who played Merle, and I feel really bad. I'm now blanking on
his Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker. Yeah.
But he's then in it for like a brief second, though.
He comes back in the end. He's in it for more in the end. He's part of the gang.
Yeah, until he dies.
I forget, like, Terry O'Quinn, who played John Locke on Lost, is the mayor. Just some of the other, like, really weird things that you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot he's in this. Oh, yeah, him too. Yeah.
Stephen Lang was that one for me.
Mike.
I'm like, hey, it's the guy from Don't Breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the bad general from Avatar.
Oh my God. I saw the new Avatar trailer at the movies last night. I can't believe they're going to make like five of these things.
I can because money.
I don't think it is though. Like literally the whole point is trying to prove that it wasn't a flop. So that's why I'm like.
Oh, that it wasn't a fluke just because of the CG?
Yeah, like I feel like people are going to realize after this one's not great that they're going to be like, oh, man, maybe James Cameron does not make good movies sometimes. Because
I feel like people are going to, before this one comes out, they're going to go back and rewatch the old one and be like, oh, shit, this does not hold up now that we've seen CG that's way beyond this.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I didn't see the original in the theater, which I think probably would have boosted my...
Same.
I watched it... I watched it on a trip to somewhere for choir, so I watched it on, like, bus TV screens.
I watched it...
We gotta run that back.
Hold on. If you think Dylan watching it on a bus trip for choir is bad, wait till things get really sad for your boy. Because I saw this movie at a vocal jazz camp. What up? At least they played it on like a screen in an auditorium, but a way nerdier setting.
Yeah, I mean, same, but different, I guess.
I saw the first half of Avatar at Best Buy in their home theater room while my dad was shopping for a washer dryer combo. And then I saw the second half when we rented it a few weeks later.
You were so enthralled. You're like, holy shit, this movie's awesome.
I got to see more of the long-neck Smurfs, see what they get into.
Oh, no.
I want to see them tail fuck.
All right. So back to Tombstone.
Back to tail fucking.
To kick things off and get everybody in the right mood, we're going to go to this week's cocktail, The Tombstone. Purely based off a name was kind of the reason why I picked it, but it does kind of go with the times. Drink comes from, there's a historian, like bartender, professor, David Wondrich, who went back and found Jerry Thomas's basically the first cocktail book that was ever invented or ever written, and he tried to like recreate it. But the story is in the October of 2005, while researching for the book, David Wondrich finally located the bartender's death certificate, and it had been misfiled, but he found it at the New York Public Library. He then called up the cemetery where he was supposedly buried. They said, yeah, we got him. So he called up a bunch of different like bartenders and bar owners in New York from like the Pegu Club, the Flatiron Lounge, and a couple like other renowned cocktail people at the time. And so they took a train to where the cemetery was, and all they took was rye, bitters, sugar, and some lemon peel. And they went out to this gravesite, went to the tombstone, and then they like poured it all in there and basically just made the cocktail in like one shaker, drank it there, thus the name the tombstone, because they were at the site of the grave. The recipe is 2 ounces of rye whiskey, 1 teaspoon of simple syrup, 2 dashes of Angostura bitters, and lemon peel for garnish, and you express them oils over it. It's kind of basically an old-fashioned. Isn't old-fashioned just bourbon and orange peel? But I guess the reason for the rye as well is that rye was Jerry Thomas, the first like big bartender. That was like his whiskey of choice at the time. I actually don't hate the original. I mean, I left the ice in there, and I put a little bit more simple syrup because I know rye is going to be spicy AF and mess me up. But I used the bullet rye. I don't know. It's pretty nice. I didn't use the lemon because I don't have lemons in my house right now. So it's a little half-assed, even though that's like, I would get an inhale of lemon flavor. But
yeah.
Yes, you really got to taste the nuances, you know? You got to breathe in a little bit so you get the minty.
Yeah, you got to breathe while you take the sip. Otherwise, you really don't get the full experience of the drink.
I mean, I think technically that is true, you know, because sound is half your taste buds. But
you mean smell?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Sorry, my Dylan's over here.
Dylan's over here hearing the flavor.
Dylan's because I watched you look music. Up.
You were like, oh, and I was like, oh, yeah, sound.
Sorry, I can hear my baby crying through the...
He's literally a superhero.
Through the floorboards.
Check the show notes below. Get yourself some whiskey and some bitters from Drizzly or Caskers. Use those links and you get the alcohol delivered directly to your door, and we get a little kickback from that. And make yourself a tombstone. Let us know what you think. Is the rye too much? Is it too spicy? We want to know. Check out Tombstone the movie on Amazon Prime as of recording, because we're going to spoil it a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to spoil a true story that happened like more than 100 years ago.
It is fabricated slightly.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
When they go on the rampage, they're fucking blasting dudes away, and they only killed, like, 3 guys.
Yeah. It's exaggerated, but again, most of what happened in this movie happened 100-plus years ago.
It's super weird, because I don't know why. I always thought, like, the OK Corral was, like, the big finish. Like, it was the standoff was the end, and then
yeah,
it happens, like, halfway through the movie, and I was like, there's still an hour left. Like, what the hell's going to happen? I was like, this was the shootout. Like, what?
Yeah, no, that's where they get you. You're like, oh, shit, this is it. This is the big event. No. No, this is the mid-climax. There's still more to happen.
Tombstone is a 1993 biographical drama history film. It's a Western. Currently sits at a 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb. It's the story of a successful lawman's plans to retire anonymously in Tombstone, Arizona, are disrupted by the kind of outlaws he was famous for eliminating. It's basically the story of Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp. Stars Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Sam Elliott, Bill Paxton, Powers Booth, Michael Bain, Charlton Heston's in there, Stephen Lang, Thomas Hayden Church, Michael Rooker's in there.
It's like James, is it James Priestley? Who was on like 90210? Jason Priestley. Jason Priestley's in there.
Billy Bob Thornton was apparently in there for a bit.
Yeah.
Billy Zane.
Terry Quinn. Dana Delaney. For people who are always interested in how to tie things back to Batman, like I am. Not only Val Kilmer played Batman, but Dana Delaney was the voice of Lois Lane in Superman the Animated Series, and also the voice of the Phantasm in Batman Mask of the Phantasm, the animated movie that came out in like 1992 or something. So, the more you know.
Big Batman tie-ins.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie loves Batman.
I don't think this was nominated for anything. No. It was nominated for Best Male Performance and Most Desirable Male at the MTV Movie Awards.
Hell yeah.
Both were Val Kilmer.
which, you know, Val Kilmer, most of the movie.
Tuberculosis Val Kilmer.
Pale, covered in sweat. It looks absolutely disgusting. Looks like the definition of the word moist. And was then just like, yeah, most desirable male.
Has had one love interest his whole life, and it was his cousin. Val Kilmer.
Yeah. I forgot that he says that in the movie. Same. And we were sitting there. I was watching it. And my wife had just come out and sat down, and she goes, did he just say he loved his first cousin?
Yeah, hold up. Run that one
like,
back.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that he said that.
It was the emphasis on, like, first cousin, too, that really struck me odd. Cousin. I was like, why would you emphasize that part of it?
He's like, yeah, just said I loved a woman cousin. Once. You could have just left it there.
Could have just said cousin. Like,
dude's like, it's my deathbed. I gotta get this off my chest. I loved my first cousin.
They're like my closest my siblings. Like some fucked up family trees were gonna happen in this case. It was interesting to me. Especially with like Sam Elliott and like Charlton Heston and like all these like big Western stars, it didn't feel like a Western to me, actually. Like, if that makes sense. I don't know. It felt like a Hollywood, like, I don't know. It's hard to describe because the score was like the big thing that kind of like threw me off. It didn't feel like a Western score at times when I was listening to it. It was just like a very like moving, like, orchestral score, but it didn't feel like Western. Like, I guess when I think Westerns, I'm thinking like, what's his name? Ennio Morricone. Like, I guess I'm thinking more of those kind of Western-y. Like,
yeah. Kind of the Sergio Leone.
Yeah. Like the
spaghetti Western type.
That's kind of like
the
Western music I think of. I don't know. But that didn't really detract from me. It didn't set me in like the Western vibe with that aspect.
I think this movie is just built different.
Yeah, this movie's, it's weirdly like a Western slash romance slash, like, I feel like this is one of those movies that has like a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah.
Like there's something in this movie for you. It might not all be for you, but there's some part of it, hopefully, that's there to kind of make you enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Western in, like, a traditional Western sense. I also think just the fact that it, because it's so much newer, like, it didn't feel really dirty, I think, is one way that it felt like it was a really clean movie.
Like a clean Hollywood movie.
Yeah, yeah, you know, there wasn't, like, that weird sepia filter or anything on there. There was, you know, everything was shot pretty high def, nothing looked overly gritty or grainy that made it look dated. I think that kind of also takes you out of the Western vibe.
It's obviously a Western. It takes place post-Civil War? Like, it's almost the 1900s or something, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like the 1890s or something?
It can't be too long before 1900 because there was a famous like movie star cowboy that attended Wyatt Earp's funeral, so he couldn't have been like,
it's just after. Okay.
I mean, damn, I didn't realize Wyatt Earp, like he died in the 30s or 1929 or something. Like, he lived,
yeah,
he lived until he was 80, which I was kind of actually surprised because I was like, dude, this guy, it also never took a bullet in a gunfight. Like, this man was, he was built different, some might say.
Some may say.
There's a reason that
he lives in infamy.
Yeah, there's a reason that people remembered him as being a badass.
Does he live in infamy, though?
I guess not.
I wouldn't say infamy. What's so crazy to me is, like, when they're talking about, like, how famous...
Dylan's gonna hit me with a hot take on Wyatt Earp.
How famous he is as a lawman, and then he's just like, I killed one person. And I'm like, wait, really? Everyone knows you, and you killed one guy? Like, that's pretty weird.
I was gonna say, I think he only, like... all the guys in the movie, I looked up, I did a little deep dive on, like, Wikipedia, and, like, all of them only end up actually killing like a handful of people in their lifetime. Like, I think Wyatt Earp killed maybe 4 people his entire life. Doc Holliday, I think, only killed like 3 people his whole life. Even though the movie is like rootin' tootin' weird, like the revenge tour at the end.
Yeah, it's like Wyatt Earp and the ride of his immortals.
Yeah, they like destroy the cowboy gang, and I'm like, okay,
rolling through a river, getting shot at, just yelling no as he blasts people away. No. I'm walking through the river, and anyway, I start blasting.
Ben, you said that Val Kilmer was kind of robbed for his performance, and my God, this is Val Kilmer's best role, probably his entire career, I'd say.
Oh, he's absolutely phenomenal.
He's very good. I love Kurt Russell. Huge Kurt Russell fan. I forgot he was in this movie. I had never seen the movie, obviously, but like when I saw Kurt Russell, I was like, yes.
I wanted to bring this up because I remembered having this conversation. So I went back and rechecked on it. But I remember talking with my dad when this report came out. Val Kilmer came out in like 2017. Did this article with the Hollywood Reporter about this movie. And he had basically said, so obviously Kurt Russell's good in this movie, right? But he's not like, he doesn't blow you away. Val Kilmer came out and basically said that Kurt Russell was quasi directing the movie. So the original director left the project like 2 weeks before filming started. So they were 2 weeks behind. So Kurt Russell would go the night before and set up what they were shooting the next day, what was getting done, all of these things for the new director. And Val Kilmer basically kind of said, like, most stars focus so much on their own, you know, performance and everything like that. Kurt, to the detriment of his own performance, really put his money where his mouth is and sacrificed a lot to make this movie happen and be successful. Which I thought was really interesting. And he didn't want a director credit or anything like that. But Val Kilmer was like, yeah, he was pretty much a director on the movie. He said when Goldie Hawn was on location somewhere else to shoot another project. So Val Kilmer was basically crashing with Kurt Russell as they were working on the movie. They both spent a lot of time like editing the movie, like working to edit everything. So yeah, I think it's interesting that Val Kilmer's performance is really kind of, it is, it's phenomenal. I will say it repeatedly. This is his best work. And again, the fact that he wasn't nominated or he didn't win an Oscar for this is an absolute shame. But I feel like understanding now what was going on behind the scenes, kind of as to why Kurt Russell's performance was good, but not to the same level, I feel like, as Val's was.
The one person I did not love in the movie, could you guess who it is?
Morgan Earp?
Bill Paxton? Yeah. It was so bad in this movie.
Yeah, he's not great.
Luckily, he wasn't in it a lot.
Yeah, like, I just feel like, I don't know if it was, like, just the writing or what, but it feels like they kind of, like, tried to paint him as, like, the comic relief almost in a movie that didn't really need comic relief.
Yeah. Yeah, they made him just, he felt like such a bumbling idiot sometimes. And he had like no backbone. Like, he joins up to be the deputy marshal or whatever, and Wyatt just looks at him, he's like, what the hell? Oh, well, Wyatt, you know, you gotta back your brother. Like, grow a spine.
I was so confused by like everything in the movie, because when you first see Doc, I was like, is he gonna be a bad guy? Because he like sticks up the place and like takes the money, and I was like, is he actually a villain now? But I thought those two were like friends, and then they get to the tombstone, and it's like, I know, you know, if you get into a fight and you shoot someone, as long as it was a fair fight, it's Gucci. Just turn in your guns and let the judge.
That dude tried to come at Doc Holliday, and Doc was like, nah, man.
Yeah, or like there, all the murders that happened, like there was no witness, so we can't do it. It's like, what the fuck?
Did you see him shoot the sheriff? Well, no. What do you mean no? What do you mean no?
No, well, I just saw him standing over his dead body with a literal smoking gun. We can't keep him. Gotta let him go.
Thought that was ridiculous.
The other thing I read was like, I guess like a bunch of the things that the Cowboys did, like murders and trials they went on. The witness was just another cowboy that was like, no, I didn't see him do it. What are you talking about? And they were like, well, this is the only witness we have. He's got to go free.
It's fantastic.
I'm like, what the fuck? What is this? This is the law system?
This movie has some fantastic quotes.
Oh, just my God.
Amazing so many. Quotes.
I'm your Huckleberry. I feel like that's...
I'm your Huckleberry is fantastic.
Most when the guy's like, I got says. You, I got you now. And he's just like, you're a daisy if you do. Oh, God, what a big dick move. Just like, what? Fuck it. What you gonna do?
He shot that one dude in the head and then was like, gonna fist fight him or something?
That was intense.
Calm down.
The music got so intense after the man was shot in the head already.
They went straight like spaghetti western with the duels, I will say, with the like close up on the eyes, the hands, the gun. I'm like, Jesus Christ. It's like six different shot sizes on the eyes, like wide close ups, extreme close ups.
Yeah. After the sheriff is shot and there's like a stand up outside in the dark, and Doc Holliday comes out super drunk, super sweaty, very moist man. And the guy's taunting him about how drunk he is. He's like, you're probably seeing double. And Doc Holliday says, I have two guns, one for each of you.
Yeah. That
he's got the weirdest accent though too.
Yeah.
The ending when he meets Ringo for the duel. He just some of the greatest shit. Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave. And just like the fear. Oh man. My hypocrisy only goes so far. And then later, when he follows up with it, when my hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Doc Holliday's lines are fantastic.
Everything Doc Holliday does in this movie. I love the scene
where he flips the gun cup around.
Yeah, Ringo does the whole gun twirl and is like putting on a show and flips down. Doc just like takes the shot of his drink and starts flipping the tin cup, and everyone's just like, oh shit.
Everyone just can't help but laugh.
That was
the best part. I was like, damn, he probably would have got shot on the spot if there wasn't an entire crowd of people there.
Yeah.
I love Wyatt Earp's table mounted shotgun, by the way. With the butt of the shotgun right in his crotch.
Like an eye bolt underneath.
He really trusts that. When he got that shotgun, another great Doc Holliday line. He's like, oh, I forget the guy's name. He's like, oh, you can go now.
I completely forgot you were here.
Oh, Johnny. It was like Johnny Tyler. He's like, he's Johnny Tyler. Doc, drop the shotgun. Johnny, I forgot you were there. You may go now. And he just, like, scrambles off. I always forget, too, when I first start watching it, I'm like, is that Billy Bob Thornton? Oh, it is. He just got bitch smacked just twice upside the face.
It does a decent job of it, though, but, like, it was one of those movies where there's so many, like, quotes. Like, I feel like dialogue is said to be quoted, almost.
Oh, like they, I think so.
Like, they knew they were writing, like one-liners and stuff.
Yeah. But also, I feel like they were all Doc Holliday's.
True. I mean, Kurt Russell has a couple. Think.
He has the, tell him the thunder's coming, tell him the law's coming, tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me. That's a solid then one.
What's the other one he says? He says something like,
you're just gonna stand there and bleed.
And bleed, yep.
Gonna do something and just stand there and bleed.
One that Wyatt says that I'm going to try to incorporate into my day-to-day is skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
when he said that, I was like, excuse me?
What? Come on. He follows it up with...
skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
He follows
throw
it up
down,
with...
boy.
With jerk that pistol and go to work.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
No, he does. That one is fabricated. The next line he says. No, oh my God.
Oh, another Doc Holliday.
Trivia early. Which of these sexual innuendos was actually said in the movie?
When Wyatt's walking through the superhero moment where Wyatt Earp's like in the creek shooting everyone, and one of the guys, they're like, where is he? And Doc Holliday's like, down by the creek, walking on water. It's just his fucking attitude of just like, you know, I'm here for Wyatt because he's my friend, but also I'm just going to fucking, I'm just going to talk shit about anyone and everyone because no one's going to call me on it. That's the attitude I wish I could have.
Well, I think the other thing is, like, he's been sick for years.
Oh, yeah.
So
he's
it's like
been on
he,
his,
he
he's
practically
has been
a death
on his
wish,
death
basically.
Bed. Yeah, he knows he's going to die, so it doesn't really matter. But also the scene where they go to him and they say something about, like, Doc, why are you here? And he's like, well, Wyatt Earp's my friend. Well, hell, I got lots of friends. And he goes, well, I don't. And that's when you're just like, oh, man. Oh, he actually really loves Wyatt. Like, this isn't just like, oh, yeah, well, I'm doing it for Wyatt. It's like, no, Wyatt's like the one person I can actually confide in and trust. Like, oh, shit.
I don't know. When you think of, like, the Gold Rush and, like, Cowboys, it seems so long ago in theory. But, like, it was 140 years ago. Like,
yeah.
That just it's kind of mind-blowing that we were 140 years ago we were just shooting people on the streets because they called you a cheater at a card game.
Hey, he had a gun. It was a fair fight.
I don't know. Like, at least there's some system of law now.
Yeah,
today.
It's not a great system. Don't get what,
let's
it's
not
a great system.
Phrasing the system.
We're not gonna dig in, but yes.
I mean, technically, I guess there was still, like, I mean, there was a constitution. We had a country at that point, but just one half of the country was the Wild West.
maybe two halves.
Two-thirds?
Necessarily loving this movie. I appreciate it, like, the entire kind of romantic plot between Wyatt and... I'm blanking on her name.
The actress.
Is it Josephine?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like it adds a lot to the story as much as it could. Also kind of the same thing with Wyatt's wife. Like, I feel like you could have maybe left out Wyatt's wife and just focused on the actress part. Or
yeah,
focused
on
not, his...
But that's not what happened historically, Ben.
But, or focus on, like, his wife slowly becoming a drug addict. But, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like they just kind of glossed over both and were like, yeah, here's this overarching romantic plot. And it's like, yeah, either give me more or give me less. I just feel like where they left it was just not enough of an amount for it to be helpful in telling the story.
Well, it's also, like... Yeah, like you said, there's not much to it. Like, we have Wyatt and the actress, like, they hang out once, maybe twice, I think, in the movie? Like,
they
go
they
on that...
They awkwardly talk in the bar. Then he's yeah. awkwardly watching her sing. And then...
And then they have the
they
one where they're like,
horse
our horses are
together.
Horny, so we have to ride them.
Yeah, we
gotta
have to...
ride them out.
We gotta ride the sex out of them.
And... That always works.
And right. Then like they don't really talk again until like the end of the movie, and then it's just like, hey, we're together now. Like, what? Okay.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I forgave you the minute you said it. What? Okay.
Awesome.
We've known each other for like 4 days.
Like, yeah
there's a lot of time that passes in the movie.
There is a lot of time, but
very casually, throwaway line that's like, "Eh, looks like it's getting cold now, Morgan. Yep, winter's gonna be coming soon." 20 minutes later, "Oh yeah, it's warming up now. Ground's gonna get warm. Spring's coming. Thanks, man. Keep it with the time."
Ah, yes. The old throwaway line. It's a staple. The staple of American cinema. Oh, I did want to talk about something I forgot that happens in the movie. Whenever I think about this movie, I think of the picture of the four guys walking down the street.
The shot like right before the credits.
Yes. I always forget there's a fucking building on fire behind them during the movie. Yeah. I'm just like, why? This is really distracting. You get like a close up of one of their face. They look really stoic. And then behind them, there's like two guys struggling with a bucket trying to throw it on the fire.
Cool guys, don't look at explosions.
Exactly.
It's just like,
there's no explanation for it, though, is the thing. Like, they're not like, the Cowboys were burning down the city. Let's go get them.
Just let the fire happen. But don't, like, show random strangers trying to throw, like, buckets of, like, half full buckets of water. It just draws from the gravity of this scene. It's like, this is not necessary. Either just don't have the fire, or have the fire, but no one there. Like, just let it be this cool thing. But when you have a bunch of schmucks trying to put it out, just does not, it's not a good look.
So I guess before we go to trivia, I found this review on Letterboxd that was something. It's from Will Miniker. Gave it 5 stars. He said, "If you're a dude or you've ever posed as supporting the dudes rock movement and have not seen this movie or don't recognize it as an unimpeachable classic, you're no daisy at all. This movie is peak masculinity. You may not like it, but it is a fact. A movie about how much fun it would have been to live in the Old West? Just think about it. Fucking around with guns all day, smoking opium, buying laudanum, over the counter, drinking 200 proof whiskey, gambling, whoring, having tuberculosis. You can kill someone for calling you a cheater in a card game and everyone will be like, it's a private affair and it was a fair fight. But more than anything, the best part about being in an era of American history was all the love between homies. I also have to address the cast in this movie. It's more stacked than anything I've ever seen. Let's run it down. Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer in his best performance by a mile, Bill Paxton, Sam Elliott, and most impressive of all, Robert Mitchum does the voiceover narration at the beginning and end. Nothing but killers all the way down. Best of all, every single mustache on this screen was real. More than anything, though, there's never been a more beautiful expression of the love between two bros than the last scene with Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer. What did you ever want? Just to live a normal life. There is no normal life, Wyatt. It's just life. Get on with it. Tears in my eyes."
There are a lot of fantastic mustaches in this movie.
Hell yeah. I mean, I think Sam Elliott's been working on his entire life.
Forever. And all of his entire Hollywood career.
Holy shit. Here's a movie with Sam Elliott where he doesn't have a mustache, I believe.
What? I don't believe you.
Ewy.
Okay, I'm looking at the credits, and I see that this guy is named Frankie Stallone, and I need to know. Oh, he's Sylvester Stallone's brother.
Frankie Stallone.
What?
Is that not Sam Elliott at the top of this movie poster I sent on Teams?
Hey, don't give away our meeting platform. They don't pay for that.
They don't pay us for that. It could be. Is it?
Oh, there's a couple pictures of him on the internet here without a mustache.
I don't know. It's hard to say without that seat cushion under his nose.
Giving out free mustache rides.
Oh, dear God.
It just looks funny. It? Like, I've never seen this man's upper lip.
It's covered. It's got years of filth on it. There's a woman's social security card from 1973 in that mustache.
Jesus Christ. I hope that stays in. There's your Instagram clip right there.
Jesus.
Oh, God. All right. This is the part of the show where Zach takes over and puts us through some trivia. Zach, what do you got for us on Tombstone?
All right. Question number one. What county is Tombstone in? A, Maricopa. B, Apache. Or C, Cochise County.
All right. I'm going to say C. I have no idea.
Yeah. I think it's, what was it, Cochise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's that.
It is. Sheriff of the County of Cochise, Ban, introduces himself as so.
I saw it on my deep dive of the history.
Ooh.
Because that's what the Cowboys were called, the Cochise County Cowboys.
Okay.
Sounds like a football team.
Question number two. Creek Johnson and Texas Vermilion both had the same first name. What was it? Jim, George, or Jack?
I love that everyone had a fucking nickname back then. Besides literally Wyatt Earp.
Imagine being known as Creek.
What do you mean? He was the law dog.
The law dog. That sounds like a fucking lawyer commercial.
We don't want you hanging around here, law dog. There ain't no law around here, law dog.
Bro, have you been hurt in a car accident? Call Law Dog.
Have you been hurt while wearing a red sash?
Have you been hurt while wearing Virgil's mustache?
All right, Dylan, do you know the answer? I know the answer, so I was waiting.
Oh, you know
the
answer?
Yeah.
Okay, what was it? Something Jack. I only remember the last one.
Unless that's the one you're going with, I'll repeat them.
Thank you. Please repeat.
Jim, George, or Jack.
What were their names again?
Jim, George, or Jack.
I'm talking about the people's names.
Creek Johnson and Texas Vermilion. Imagine being known as Texas Vermilion.
George Vermilion? Jack Vermilion? I'm going to say George.
Sorry, the answer we were looking for was Jack.
Shit!
It is Jack. All right, Ben's got the 2-1 lead. Heading into question number three. How many hands in a row did Doc Holliday beat Ike Clanton? 11? 12 or 13?
I think it's 13.
I want to say it's 11 hands and ain't nobody get lucky that many times in a row.
Well, you would both be wrong. It's 12.
Is it 12? Yes. Does he say 11 and then he loses
then he
that hand?
He loses that hand, yep.
That's it. Damn. I knew he says something about the last 11 hands ain't nobody get lucky that many times.
Somebody else says it in a throwaway line later, too. It's 12 hands.
Yeah, I think the other guy that's playing with him says something before he...
Was he actually just that lucky? Did he cheat?
I think he cheated. I mean, how do you win 12 hands in a row unless the guy's just really bad?
I mean, the other thing is he has his sleeves rolled up, so that's why I was kind of like, maybe he's not cheating.
Cheat without sleeves.
He also had a woman walking around the table...
Okay, so you're saying there were some prying eyes on some hands.
It wouldn't surprise me. It also, I feel like, it could also be one of those things where, like, hey, when it comes to poker, you play the man, not the hand. So, like, maybe he bluffed a couple times and...
Well, congrats, Ben.
Hey, I'm glad. My dad would have ridiculed me if I did not win Tombstone Trivia.
I'm the sole goob in the goob squad, so I'll go first, give you a fresh rating, and the boys will give you updated nostalgia rating. I feel like this one, we had this movie at my house growing up. I just never watched it. I don't know why. It's good. I don't know. It didn't blow me away. Like, I wasn't like, damn, this great movie. But it's really well done. It's really good. I feel like it's one of those... It's almost like a movie with a shit ton of cameos, because you're for the first 15, 20 minutes, you're just like, who's going to show up next? Who's going to walk through the door on the sitcom next? Like we said earlier, Bill Paxton, kind of meh. Kurt Russell's all right. I feel like he gets a few points because I just love Kurt Russell. He's in like so many of my favorite movies. But Val Kilmer knocks it out of the park. The dudes who play Johnny Ringo and is it Bill?
Curly Bill,
the other bad guy. Those guys were really good. They're fucking psychos. Same with Ike. Thomas Hayden Church was really well done. I'm going to leave this movie at an 8. I think it's one of the better Westerns I've seen. I'd say check out Tombstone if you haven't seen it. It does kind of feel like a manly action movie, kind of like... it feels like one of the Arnold's like 80s action movies bleeding into the 90s, but then they were like, how can we put a spin on this? Western. Let's do it.
My wife loved it, so maybe she's just into like 80s cheesy early 90s action movies. My only two issues with this movie are the love interest, I don't think is done very well. And Bill Paxton, I think, could have been, you know, not in the movie, or just don't put a spotlight on him at all. It feels like they put him in there because they had to. But Wyatt Earp had like 10 other brothers that weren't in this movie, so maybe you could have just cut him out too. Everything else, though, this movie is really good. I think Kurt Russell is definitely good enough. Val Kilmer's awesome. This is one of those movies where I wish I had another 30 minutes of it. I wish this was like 2.5 hours so that they could have handled my issues better, my complaints better. Maybe developed a love interest a little more. Maybe phase Wyatt Earp's wife out a little more, because she like rolls into town with a headache, and then the next time you see her, she's like coked out of her mind, and then she splits. So like,
she's opium.
Another 30 minutes, I feel like, wraps that up. Sorry, they hadn't got to the coke phase yet. They were still in liquid form. But I'm also going to give it an 8 out of 10.
I think growing up, my life and like phases of movies I've loved, they all mostly have Val Kilmer in them, I feel like. As a kid, like huge, obviously growing up in a huge like comic book house, huge Batman family. Batman Forever was always my favorite Batman movie growing up. Loved Val Kilmer. It was, I feel like, the most kid-friendly without being terrible, a la Batman and Robin. And then as I got kind of older, like probably into like 8 to 10 range, I remember watching this movie, Tombstone, with my dad for the first time and just loved it. This is a movie I could turn on, I feel like, anytime. And if I'm not paying attention to all of it, I know exactly when I'm going to perk up and like pay attention to what's going on. I've seen this movie so many times. And then... I loved the movie Top Gun, but that's a conversation for another time. Anyways, this is a movie that I absolutely love. I do recognize it has flaws, even going into it. I had it at an 8 out of 10 after a rewatch. It's still an 8 out of 10. There's just a couple things I feel like that could have made this movie one of the, in my opinion, greatest movies of all time. But I just think it's such a phenomenal movie. I like Zach said, I think it could be a little bit longer and address some of the things. But for all its flaws, Val Kilmer alone deserves a fucking 10 for this movie. Everything else kind of brings it down a little bit. Kurt Russell's good, not great. But like I said, finding out now that like he was setting up the shot list for the next day and was doing like a lot to help the new director that came in after the old director left, like that's pretty impressive that he gives the performance he does during it. 8 out of 10. If you haven't seen it, it's more than worth a watch, especially if it's especially like Amazon Prime, it's streaming free. Check it out. This is a movie, again, I could watch anytime, turn it on, and I'm in. I'm hooked.
Don't forget to rate and subscribe. If you enjoy this episode, check out more. We've got over 100 episodes of this, so give it a listen. Share us with your friends and family. Check us out on Instagram at Cocktails and Classics Pod. Check us out next week as we do Scott Pilgrim versus the World. You can check out Scott Pilgrim on Tubi with ads right now as of recording, so you can be ready for next week if you haven't seen it. Hit up the Drizzly and Casker links, make a tombstone, check out Tombstone on Amazon Prime, and as always, watch responsibly.